The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Stuart Beasley, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Brighton, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon. There's also Irish racing from Listowel, a twilight card of both flat and jumps racing there. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to Monday's racing is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark.
Good, good stuff. Before we start delving into Monday stuff, Mick, let's take this opportunity to look back, because we had the final classic of the year in the shape of the St. Ledger, and after such a disappointing end to the Ledger last year for Team Ballydoyle, they've got the success this year with Leading Light, and it was a nice performance, wasn't it?
Tremendous performance, wasn't it? The race couldn't have worked out better for him. Could it decent fraction set by Kappa Rushes up front? Well, Joseph O'Brien, I bet he couldn't believe his luck, and because he knew he was on the proven steer.
Yep.
And when he picked it up three out, or just before two out, between three and two out, he just knew nothing was going to come and outstay him, and everything worked out perfectly. Good to see talent coming back to her best. Galileo Rock, an honourable third on ground that was far too soft for him, and close up in behind Libertarian Foundry. I think it was a good race. Probably won't please the number crunchers, but
no.
Good horse has won a good race.
No, the in terms of ratings, it falls quite short in terms of the average for the St. Ledger. Leading Light getting 118, and the rest of them are up in the 120s. So, as far as the figures are concerned, or the ratings rather. Not brilliant, but visually good, and all about stamina, wasn't he? Leading Light.
Well, he came into the Ledger after winning the Queen's Vase, which is a
which has never been done before, actually, as well.
I think back in 1820 or something like that. Yeah, and it's a long way for a three-year-old, 2 miles. And I tell you what, it says something for his temperament and his constitution that he's bounced back to win this Group One Classic after that those exertions at Ascot. And don't forget, Mark, he did win a 10 furlong Group 3 before he went to Ascot. So he's not just a stayer. He's got a marvellous pedigree. He's by Monjeu out of a Gone West mare, and that particular sire and dam sire of dam combination were also responsible for the Derby winner Motivator, and he was Monjeu's third Ledger winner after Mast Marvel and Scorpion. So he certainly had the pedigree for it. He's also got the attitude. I think it was a super performance. And the number crunches are going to stick it where the sun don't shine, for as I'm concerned. That was one tremendous St. Ledger.
Good. Good stuff. Away from the St. Ledger, that was obviously the feature and a fantastic renewal of the race. But we had some other interesting performances, some great performances on the day as well. And we'll start with the first race on Friday, which was the Champagne Stakes. Another winner there for Godolphin, and Outstrip was impressive, and Sylvester D'Souza reckons that they could give this guy a till at Group 1 company, and he's also been trimmed with us for the 2,000 guineas next year. He's now 25 to 1 from 33s.
Well, we're talking about Monjeu, what a sire he is. Well, I tell you what, this exceed and excel, the sire of Outstrip's not far behind him. That was his 30th group winner for exceed and excel Outstrip. And he's got winning top-class progeny, both hemispheres.
Mm.
He's a real top-class horse. And I think that this horse still showing signs of greenness. Did it on soft ground, tacky soft ground. And he won with some authority, didn't he? And probably Barcelona's hardest task was pulling him up. I had to get him stoked up a bit to get him to race after he was just a bit slowly out of the stalls. And he was quite keen, actually, but when he did stoke him up to go and win the race, then he couldn't hardly pull him up. And that togged as well. And he beat a good yardstick in the Grey Gatsby who is learning with every race, and he's put three lengths daylight between himself and the Grey Gatsby, who I know Kevin Ryan thinks the world of. Just touched off in the Aiken, which is usually a very good guide. And, outstrip, he could be anything. He stepped up from his maiden to run well in the vintage at Goodwood. I think he's going for either the Dewhurst or the Prix de la Garde, so yeah. We'll see where he goes next. But he's a proper racehorse. Make no mistake about that.
Yeah, and I said SDS, didn't I? It was Mikhail Barcelona.
Yeah.
Said the wrong one. And if Tormore wins in Ireland, and we're obviously recording this before Sunday's racing, then that boosts the vintage form as well, and it'd look very, very good, wouldn't it?
The vintage was a good race anyway. Mm. Yeah, it's already starting to show that, isn't it?
Good stuff. So that's Outstrip then, and the other group winner on the day was in the Park Stakes, Vistoria, coming home in front in that group too. She was well backed, and she did the business nicely.
Yeah. Well, Oratorio is one of those. I loved that Oratorio as a racehorse. He was like about third or fourth in the pecking order of the milers at Ballydoyle at the time.
Yeah.
But I know he was one of Kieran's favourites amongst all of those who were arguably thought better than him.
Hmm.
And they sold him, didn't they? And it usually works out that once he's gone, they start to get good horses here. And this is the case with this Vistorio out of a Darshan mare, really good, solid pedigree. And interesting to see, you know, where she goes from here. The trainer won this with Duff back in 2009, came on from the sixth in the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot, and she's a proper group filly, and I think there's definitely a group one in her somewhere along the way, and probably the Prix de Forêt on Arc Day.
Yeah, okay.
She might just bump into one or two there, though.
It's phenomenal to think that they couldn't get her through the sales, nobody wanted to pay for her, and she's absolutely run away with the Park Stakes.
So. Well, I don't think Oratorio is all that fashionable, you know, and that's probably why they sold him. I don't know where he's gone. He had a 1-2 in the Dewhurst with Beethoven Fancy Martin from his first crop. I think he went to South Africa, if memory serves me. And he's got 15 individual stakes winners, including in 2013, including the Hong Kong Group 1 winner Military Attack and the Dubai Group 3 Moonwalk in Paris. So he's added a Group 2 in Britain now. So I think he was actually sold. Sometimes they send him away on lease, as it were, to try and make the mark in other hemispheres, but I think he was actually sold. So I think goodbye-bye, South Africa, and he'll do wonders for the quality of the stock there. Underrated horse, Oratorio, when he was at Ballydoyle, but not by Keir Fallon.
OK. Good stuff. That's pretty much the group races done there. Mick, anything else caught your eye this week at Doncaster that you want to flag up?
I didn't see all of it, but the Doncaster Cup was a good race, wasn't it? It was brilliant to see Time's Up winning on Friday and backing up, and those two running to say the first and second again. Yeah, I love these old stayers, and that was a great performance. The highlight of the week for me, Time's Up, winning the Doncaster Cup.
Yeah, good, good stuff. Let's move on then. Let's move on to Monday's action, Mick. Not quite the same glitz and glamour as the Ledger,
but
we've got Musselburgh and Foslas domestically. Is it Foslas? What's the other one? Musselburgh and Brighton and Wolverhampton domestically. And you've picked out three.
And the Stoll's festival continues now.
Yes, it does. Yes, and you've picked out three at Musselburgh, Mick.
Yeah.
So we'll start in the 3:10, which is the first of them, and this is a Class 4 handicap over 2 miles. So we've got some more stays in action here, Mick. Which ones stand out to you here?
Well, let's start with Dr. Rover's got the steady of 10 stone, but Declan Cannon taking £3 off of that. He's gone up £6 for his first win, but that's fair enough. I mean, he was winning three of his last four. That means another career best is required. He went into thirst requiring a career best. And I wouldn't rule him out. He's shown all his best form at this trip since it stepped him up to 2 miles, and including here is a course and distance winner here at Musselburgh. And it'd be a brave man who decided to underestimate him. Bodler's Magic showed signs of a return to form last time. His mark crept into the 80s for his brace of wins in August 2012, after which his form dipped somewhat, but I think that was understandable because he was running at unsuitable trips. Excellent start, though, for New Connections at Haydock, albeit in a weakish-looking race. But he is £4 lower than his last win, so he's not to be discounted. The interesting one for me is Hit the Jackpot, trained by David O'Mara, David Nolan taking the ride. When he was with Dermot Weld in Ireland, his rating in the handicaps he ran in for Dermot in Ireland, his mark varied between 89 and 96, and he's running here off 75. And there was instant improvement for the step up to 2 miles for the first time for David in a strongly run race at York, won by Eagle Rock, who made all the running, got headed, came back, and this horse finished a close-up fourth in the York race. And I think he's a big player here, and I think it's significant as well. He won his maiden right-handed in Galway, so the running around Musselburgh will hold no terrors for him. Mm-hmm. I think David O'Mara's found the right race for him, the way he ran at York, and if it rains, it's just under pivotal ground, won't bother him. So hit the jackpot for me in the 3:10.
Okay, hit the jackpot in the first of the races. Yes, yeah. Hope he strikes it lucky. Mm. The 3:40 then is next, and this is a 5 furlong nursery, and it's full of horses that probably haven't hit the heights that some people might have wanted them to. But
well, especially the top weights. So yeah. Cost £155,000 at the Doncaster Breeze Ups. Looked as though there was a, he wasn't going to be far off winning when he was just touched off at Catterick in August. They stepped him up to 6 furlongs at Newcastle, but I was working that day, and Sean was in with me, and he ran far, far too free. Mm. And Sean said, well, we'll have to drop him back to 5. I think that could be a big big plus going back to 5, but I do think he's not without risks, this horse, because he does want to try and get it all over with in the first half of the race, and you can't do that. He's just far too keen for his own good. They might have to cut him and just get him to relax or something, and he's definitely got ability, and there are races to be won once his head gets screwed on properly.
Okay, he has only had the 3 starts, so
he's only had 3 starts, plenty of time for him. I think a gelding operation wouldn't go amiss.
Okay, but is there something else in Emic that you're going to start with?
Yeah, there certainly is. The two fillies, Kirtling Bell, trained by Keith Dalglish, Joe Fanning taking the ride. She ran well over this course and distance on her handicap debut, then went one better at Newcastle. She's up 4 for that. She's got that course and distance place form. Without being anything special, she's got to be a player off 67. I'm going to take a chance on one here, and that's Bounty Girl, trained by Tim Easterby. She ran her best. I saw this filly. She ran her best run at this trip at York. Although she was no match for the useful winner of one of Willie Haggis's 2-year-olds that had been running well in this and found the right race for it, hasn't run since. So we're not sure how the strength of the form, the winner anyway. But that was a good run, and I think back to that trip here, off a mark of 68, and putting an eye shield on her, which is interesting. The eye shield, of course, is the mesh covering. It's not like a blinker. Mm. It's just the mesh. Now, there must be some thinking behind that. And it's definitely races to be won with this filly. And also another plus is that when she started handicapping life, her mark was in the 70s, and she slipped back into the 60s, can run off 68. She's going to be a price, Bounty Girl, with the 9 declared. I think each way Bounty Girl might be the answer here.
Okay, good stuff.
Is it a race that's got danger signs all over it?
Mm, tricky race. The 5:10 at Musselburgh then, Mick, is the final one you're going to look at. This is a handicap over a mile and a half, and it's a qualifier for the £15,000 Scottish Stayers Series. Finally, if I can say it. And can we start here with Burns Knight, Mick, who's been in good form over hurdles since joining Philip Kirby, and comes onto the flat this afternoon.
Yes, I haven't been long with Phil Kirby, but they've soon got a result with him, haven't they? And very well treated if he can translate that hurdle race form back to the flat, and being a son of Selkirk, if it keeps on raining, that won't bother him. I thought this was absolutely impossible, this 5:10. You've got Bayanka Seeger, the 3-year-old filly trained by Richard Farr. You've got her due reward for a consistency at at first last, the time before last, and then what she goes up to Hamilton and unseats Tony Hamilton. She's leaving the stalls, got his foot knocked out the iron, and
yep.
off he went. George Challoner is taken off the five. She looks progressive and is probably worth another chance. And then we've got High on the Hill, who used to be trained by Sylvester Kirk and ran really well at Newcastle last time. I was working that day when he finished just out of the money at Newcastle. He's now £18 lower than his last win, and there were definite signs of ability that he's retained his plenty of ability last time. The drop back in trip, that was over 2 miles, the drop back in trip on his best form for Sylvester, no problem at all, and he has won and been placed right-handed, so he's another one to throw into the mix, as is Dean Iracht down at the bottom, who was £3 out of the handicap when he won last time, so effectively only a pound worse off. And plus, Jason Hart rides on Monday, taking off a further three, and he has won back-to-back previously in his career. Sometimes his horses will pop up like that. That was a long losing run he was ending at Newcastle 10 days ago, but you look back through his form and he has backed up before. So they, you know, there's four horses, and you wouldn't be scratching your head if any of them, if any of the four won.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you asked me to just take one, I'd go High on the Hill, because that was such a good run last time and he's so well handicapped, £18 lower than his last win, and that was a real, and he didn't get the best of luck in running either. And the step back to a trip he's won over, no problem. He might be the value angle in a very, very trappy 5-10.
Yep, and he wears the cheek pieces for the first time as
cheek
well.
Cheek pieces as well for the first time. Help. Yeah, that might help Dave Allen taking the ride.
Mm. OK, then, Mick, let's have a quick summary, if you will, if you'll spin us through your three one more time.
OK, we're going to take a chance and hit the jackpot in the 3-10 to build on the promise he showed at York last time, only lightly raced for David O'Mara. Bounty Girl in the 3-40, she's been running consistently well. Back at the trip, she ran her best race over at York, 5 furlongs for me, and she wears the eye shield for the first time. Dave Allen takes the ride, and hopefully Dave can double up for us on High on the Hill in a very trappy 5-10.
Mm-hmm. Good work, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Monday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
The thoughts of Mick Norton then on Monday's racing at Musselburgh. You'll hear all of the action from there and the rest of Monday's racing as well. It's Musselburgh, Brighton, Wolverhampton and Listowel on Monday. Stuart Beasley, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be the three men in the studio, and they'll be live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.